The Big Nooner here on the firm of Harris and Meringue. We do this bad boy every single Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you for being a part of our day. We are stoked to be a part of your day. After us, we'll toss it over to Duck Insider from 1 to 2 as we're getting closer and closer to college football season from 1 to 2. And then it's the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3. And then it's primetime, baby, from 3 to 7, finishing up 13 hours of live, local, continuous regional sports talk radio. Started with a solo dolo, Andy Dirt Johnson, a Dirty Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague. If you missed any of those, and if you can't catch them live after us, find them wherever you get yours. Talk a little baseball this hour. What else do we got this hour? A little NFL this hour. Closing arguments as well to send you on your way. But I guess let's get back into this, Danny. I don't know, because this isn't just an NBA issue. I think this could be an issue that could transcend all the sports. Now, it seems to be more prominent in the NBA these days in terms of owners that may not have the legitimacy of money they claim to.
Liquid cash.
Because you can take that any route. Like, Mark Walters and Tom Dundon are very, very different people in terms of how they made their money and how much money they have. But you could argue they don't have real money, as a texter said on the text line earlier. Maybe the NFL should force all people to buy NBA teams in gold, so that way
gold standard.
So that way you can prove that you have the money. But this is a problem that I think could find itself in every other league. Now, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, owners in, let's see, because I'm a baseball guy. I'm trying to think owners in baseball that don't have real money. I don't know if they exist, if I'm being honest.
Well, speaking of ownership, and one of the owners we've talked about, Mark Walter is trying to sell his stake in Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. So he's super broke boy now.
Well, they're, again, allegedly, the money that was being wired between multiple firms and washed off to push liabilities and debts to other companies, mm-hmm. they're saying he has to basically come up with somehow $24 billion by the end of this year. So
the Dodgers are for sale.
Dodgers come soon.
Yeah, but for the MLB, you have not necessarily cash poor owners, but guys who put restrictions on the cap and mm-hmm. limit spending in terms of payroll. You have John J. Fisher in Oakland, Bob Nutting in Pittsburgh, and then whoever owns the Tampa Bay Rays as well.
The new ownerships of the Rays. Say this again.
Bob Nutting.
No, what about him?
Oh, all of them not necessarily are cash poor, but have historically operated under strict payroll limitations.
Okay. But that's probably because they have real cash and not fluctuating money. Mm-hmm. So that's where it gets a little tricky. Like, Steve Cohen, you could argue, probably had fluctuating cash at some point, but I think he's cashed that in, and that guy's worth real money now.
Like, the Blue Jays are owned by Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
They got cash.
They got real money.
Steinbrenner doesn't have cash.
No, but their money is real.
It is, but it's all tied up in that the same way.
It's not real anymore, yeah. But yes.
But it was all tied up in the same way the Buss family was with the Lakers.
Right. Fenway Sports Group, FSG, they have real money.
Yes, but they're also trying to get out of
baseball. Well, I know, but they have real money. And then when you slide over to the NFL, I mean, how many of these teams in the NFL?
Tepper's the richest owner in the NFL, right?
But how many of them don't have real money? Like, Jerry has real money. Woody Johnson has real money. Jerry's
yes.
oil.
Mark Davis does not have real money. Mike Brown does not have real money.
Okay, so maybe I'm saying this wrong. It's not that they have a lot of money. It's that the money they have is real. Mark Davis's money is real.
Yeah, but it's not
hedge fund. It's not mortgage loans.
Well,
it's not
Mark Davis, based. His wealth is in the team. It's not as...
But that's real money.
It's, yeah, but it does have a finite point that isn't that grand. And that's... I don't know what's a worse end to be on. A guy that does have cash in the franchise. Like, Jerry's that on steroids mm-hmm. because the Cowboys print money. The Raiders do too, but Mark Davis doesn't have assets outside of the Raiders. I mean, he does, but not to an extent that matters. Jerry Jones has assets outside of the Cowboys that, like, he had cash mm-hmm. going in, even though he did, you know, work with the Teamsters to secure the Cowboys. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
I think I would rather be... the Yankees, if we take this private equity thing that they've got going on right now, I think I would rather my owners be the Steinbrenners or the Buss family, who are cash poor, but everything they have is invested in the team, as opposed to somebody like Ishbia or Walter, whose money fluctuates all the time, and we don't really know the true value. Because I said this to you, this happened when I was out.
Especially unless they're diversified. Like,
exactly. This happened when I was out, and mm-hmm. and when Bob Iger and Josh Kushner buy the Lakers for $12.5 billion, I'm like, Josh Kushner's worth 5.7, mm-hmm. and Bob Iger's worth $600 million. Where are you getting this money from?
Yeah.
Now, the Kushner family is a very divisive political yes. situation that I don't need to get into, but I don't know if Kushner has real money.
He
I know Bob Iger has real money, yes. but he only has 600 mil. The 5.7, how are you able to come up with this 12.5? And I think a lot of that is because that's fluctuating money.
They're paying that in a valuation. They're not actually spending 12.5. They're actually going to spend about 10.
Right.
Because of the valuation went up from when Walter got it. Because the Buss family is still going to own their 15% or whatever it is. So, but also with this, when you're talking about Kushner's wealth, he's probably going to have to liquidate some of mm-hmm. his stocks. And if he does do that and then moves it directly into the franchise, there's tax implications that come along with that where it gives him a ton of breaks. His value and his net worth is going to go up, which is weird to think about. But the flip side of it, like the Reds ownership. Reds ownership group in baseball in Cincinnati, dude's worth like $400 million, $500 million. Like, that's his net worth. And almost all of it is tied up in the franchise. There's maybe some more relatability with that because you can't screw around with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. But it's the same thing with the Bengals. When they were like, well, you know, we can't pay Trey Anderson. It's like, well, you actually can't pay Trey Anderson because you don't have the cash. Like,
Phil Castellini is the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. Got mm-hmm. that from his Faja.
And again, like Danny says, Phil Castellini's individual net worth is not publicly detailed as a standalone figure, but he's a part of the ownership group whose combined family net worth is tied to the Cincinnati Reds, estimated at approximately $400 million.
Team's worth 1.6.
And that's to do that, though, he's got to get out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that means like his ability to run operations, you can just go ahead and write, if Shohei Ohtani opts out, you can just write the Reds off right now because they don't have the cash on hand to put the money in escrow.
Well, I think if Shohei were to opt out of that clause he has, if ownership changes, you won't be able to defer money. You'd have to pay him up front.
But that's what I'm saying. But you still, even if you give him a 5-year, $500 million deal, yeah, you got to put the cash on hand in escrow. That alone, they don't have the cash to do that. That might scare me more than the guy with funny money.
Yeah. Because
funny money can still liquidate.
Yeah.
You can still, like, Ishbia's in trouble because his funny money got hit hard in the stock market. Hard. Like, he didn't just lose the $600 million. He got, I believe it was a downgraded rating as well. So that impacts not only the short term with the cash or liquid side of it, but it also damages his future.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you're looking around going, ooh, that's where a guy like Ballmer or Cohen or Paul Allen or those guys, they cashed out. And then they had, you know, massive amounts of actual true wealth, but then they also still have diversification that allows them to keep propagating and pushing that money further and further and further, which to an extent is kind of what you see with Musk and Bezos as well. Mm-hmm.
How much instability does it create if Mark Walters has to sell, you know? And like, what if Kushner and Iger get in the same situation and they have to sell, and your team is constantly a revolving door?
No, leagues like, don't want that.
Well, I know leagues don't want that, but what is the like short term effect to the fans and the ticket holders and the TV deals?
I don't think it's an effect on that as long as the properties stay relevant. Like mm-hmm. we're talking about Walter, the Dodgers, the Lakers, and Chelsea.
Yeah, as long as Shohei plays for the Dodgers, Luka plays for the Lakers,
doesn't even matter.
Everything will be okay.
Doesn't even matter the name on the back. As long as the property itself, it's like the Dodgers and Lakers, you can make an argument as being, if not number one, the number two brand in their sport.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Historically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah. So and
Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Cubs, in some order.
Yeah, and Lakers, Celtics.
Yes.
Like, you can make the argument that those are the Dodgers.
Maybe Knicks three.
No. Maybe. No.
Celtics,
it's Lakers, Celtics, and
Sonics,
everyone else.
Yeah.
Like there's a pretty steep drop off after that. But and Chelsea in the last 30 years, like that's a staying power brand. I mean, it's a London soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got
Abramovich put all that money in and made them good.
But I mean, you're talking about London and LA. Like how many major market centers in the world are higher up the pecking order than that.
There aren't many.
So those properties are going to have staying power. But the flip side of that is the volatility, because if there is volatility, what is that going to do to valuations? I can tell you right now, it's not going to keep driving them up.
Right.
And that, if you're talking about a bubble, I think that might be a bubble. And I think that's why you might have seen, there's a twofold answer to this as far as why I think the mom and pops have gotten out of this. Is one is the cash necessary to keep operations going into the future, and two, cashing out at the right time. We might be running up against the end of sports valuations. For the last 20 years, all they've done is gone up and up and up and up and skyrocket. When the Blazers were originally kind of going up with the thought of, you know, after, I should say, when Paul passed away and everybody knew that they would eventually need to be sold, at that point in time, you were probably thinking the Blazers would sell for $2 billion.
Right.
And Phil Knight made that offer. And
made the low ball.
And they said, nope. And they ended up selling for four. The Portland Trailblazers sold for 4.25. Let's say Dundon says, you know what? I don't like any of this. And he decides to flip and get out of this. Would it shock you if he sold the team for 5?
No, it wouldn't.
Again, $5 billion valuation. He would get out basically 20% of
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Make money. That's an ROI.
Think about it. If he put $850 million in and he gets a billy out of it, flipping for $150 million, that ain't bad.
For a bunch of people to yell at you for 2 years. It's not a bad gig.
It's a pretty damn great investment.
Winning a Super Bowl isn't enough for this head coach. This is what they want to accomplish in the NFL in 2026. Some lofty, lofty goals. We'll switch over to the NFL. 105.1 The Fan. Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only Fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. I've got the Centennial Mills building demolition live stream from K2 News up right now. It looks like, dude, I think they might be taking the water tower off and saving it.
I got nothing. Where are you watching this at?
It's the building that was on fire down the street that has the water tower on top. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to tear it down, and they got live feed on it. I think they're trying to remove the water tower and save it.
The owner's sitting there going, why?
That was my best asset. Why did you do that?
No, he wants it torn down. I think we all want it torn down.
I think it needs to get torn down. Do you hear there's human remains in there?
No way. The meth fire ended up in somebody dying? Shocking.
You've got 31 other teams coming to training camp saying, our goal is to win the Super Bowl. I want more than that. I want to have the highest scoring offense ever, which happens to be the 2013 Denver Broncos. I know how many points per game they scored, which is 37.9, and I want to surpass them. I want shutouts. I want blowouts. That is head coach of the Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson.
I mean,
you want blowouts. You want shutouts.
I kind of like this.
It's talking.
It's not just that. It's not just result. It's process.
Mm-hmm.
I want my process to be, I want to whoop you. I want to go in. I want to be 2003, 2004, 2005 USC. I don't want to just come in there. I want to stomp a mud hole in you. I want to do it with style. I want to do it with pizzazz. I want to look good doing it. I like that. If we're getting back to the ethos, the identity of sports, I want more of this.
Yeah, why not? Broncos were the biggest points per game score total in NFL history. That's 2013. Peyton Manning was the MVP that year, 37.9. The 2007 Patriots, 36.8. They lost the Super Bowl to Eli Manning that year, I believe. The Chiefs in 2018 is 35.3. I believe they won the Super Bowl that year. The Packers in 2011 at 35. I believe they won the Super Bowl that year as well.
2011 would have been Indianapolis, New Orleans. So 2012 would have been.
Okay. Super Bowl. Okay. So they did not win the Super Bowl that year. Oh, is that? Oh, that's Brett Favre's last year in Green Bay,
The 2011 Super Bowl was Green Bay.
Okay. 2012 Patriots, 35.8. Vikings in 98. Saints in 2011. Redskins in 83. Falcons in 16. Rams in 2000, greatest show on turf. Dude, all those teams are in the history books. You want to be known for something.
When your offense is that good, as much as we talk about balance and all those kind of things, when your offense is that good, there's a pretty straight correlation, causation line that you can draw.
Yeah, my only issue is I don't think this offense can be that good. And that's not me hating on Caleb. I know I hate on Caleb a lot. But, dude, when we're talking about the 2007 Patriots, mm-hmm. they had two tight ends who were Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Okay, Julian Edelman, mm-hmm. Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see this Bears team having that. I think Rome Odunze could be a nice wide receiver. You know, I love their tight end room. Caleb has got the chance to be better than I ever thought he would be. Dude, they ain't Patrick Mahomes in 2018 Chiefs.
If Ben Johnson was able to take what Eric Bieniemy had in the offensive running game and establish that this year without Bieniemy, without the leader of the room in running ability,
mm-hmm.
I don't see it happening. I have a lot of faith that Ben Johnson's going to do well. I don't see them having the pot that they had last year.
Yeah, I love putting the expectation down there. I love flaunting your chest and saying we're going to be the best one out there. I just don't know if you have the roster for it.
I mean, I think they've got potential to be very good.
Oh, I agree.
Where is the hole in that team offensively?
Mm.
They've got very good wide receivers. They've got a very good tight end.
Got a great running back room, although I don't know how much they'll use
Caleb
it this year.
Caleb holds onto the ball too much.
Yeah, it's probably Caleb, honestly.
And if that's the biggest question you have, we've also seen how explosive he can be.
Right, because Swift and Monongai, that's a nice running back room. Mm-hmm. I don't love the wide receiver room, and that's not me pooping on a UW wide receiver.
It is.
That's
legit.
Just me not loving it. I love Colston Loveland. I think he's fantastic.
But they are very undersized at the receiver position.
Mm-hmm. That's all. And Caleb's got to take a step. And again, he might. I don't want to just poo-poo him the whole time, but he's got to take that step. I am going to. He holds on the ball too long.
What level does he have to get to for you to not poo-poo him?
Look, he is fully capable of 4,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's fully capable of 35-10, mm-hmm. 35 TDs, 10 interceptions. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just when I watch him. It's like the Anthony Richardson thing. Like everybody was like, oh, this guy had a great preseason. I'm like, well, I saw him skip two checkdowns and then fumble the ball.
Caleb Williams is really good in the fourth quarter.
I need to see Caleb Williams.
Quarters 1-3 is where I have the biggest issue.
This probably isn't fair. I need to see it. And I don't know what it is yet.
Not see it in the playoffs?
Because I see a lot of hesitation. I see a lot of...
He has two of the best playoff passes and completions in the history of the game.
No. Yeah, I don't know about
that. In the playoffs?
I don't know about that.
That's a guzzle.
Yeah.
That's a guzzle.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't know about that.
Pop, get that.
Rolling back 40 yards, falling back away, throwing it in the back.
Santonio Holmes existed for a reason. The greatest postseason of all time. Stop it. Stop it. I know you love your boy.
That Super Bowl catch was really good.
You said greatest postseason of all time.
No. I said postseason throws. Throws. He has two of the best postseason throws of all time.
Again, no.
Okay. Both of those are absolutely out of this world.
I'll take Matthew Stafford's deep ball against the sideline to Cooper Kupp over that one mm-hmm. in the NFC Championship, and I'll take Big Ben's throw over three defenders to Santonio in his Super Bowl.
That's a great throw.
I didn't say it was the two best. I said two of the best.
Give me Eli Manning to David Tyree.
I'll take Eli to Plaxico in the back.
Ooh, that's a good one. That Plaxico one.
That's a good one. But I mean, like when the it factor, that's the thing that sells me on Caleb.
Well, the ceiling is nuts.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
the ceiling on Caleb is fantastic.
When you say you don't know if you've seen it, I'm like, bro, what? That's the thing that makes him. It's when he's not it. That's the problem. His it is through the roof. That's what makes Mahomes special.
This texter, how can they be number one offense with a B-minus quarterback, C-plus wide receivers, B-minus running backs, and I'll give them a solid A tight ends? I'll believe it when I see it.
Ooh, wait, he said what for running backs? B-minus?
B-minus.
Yeah. What, are they A's?
I wouldn't go B-minus.
DeAndre Swift couldn't do it by himself, so that's why you have Kyle Monongai, and Kyle Monongai
can't do it by himself either.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
That's fair. The consistency is definitely not there. But again, I like this from Ben Johnson.
I do too.
Let him hang a little bit.
No, I like it from Ben Johnson. I think he has the mind to make it happen. Does he have the staff? The tools to make it happen. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to, by any order of magnitude, any means or anything like that. But I like the audacity.
They're
going to
fall into the same issue that the Green Bay Packers fell into a few years ago. Whereas we don't have enough pieces to surround Jordan Love with. What do we do?
Right. I think it might be that same situation. Mm. An interesting thing in Major League Baseball going on at Chavez Ravine. The greatest performance of all time, according to stats.
Mm.
There's lowercase with sports. Closing arguments coming up next to send you on your way. Just got notice. Timbers fan tomorrow from 7 to 8. We will have Marty Cifuentes on the program.
Well, look at that.
New manager of the Portland Timbers. So turn that in. Tune into that.
At least somebody's communicating with somebody.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. Yeah, you know, Merritt Paulson and the crew over there. You know, thanks to my peeps Colin and Jill there.
Oh, you're not getting AI service? Over here trying to get stuff finalized for the wedding.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Blazer stuff. I was like, this franchise, we communicate with each other.
No, just that.
I saw you on the phone during the break. Just saw the eyes roll to the back of the head.
I went to the bathrooms and I told them, that way you can swear in here in peace.
I hate nothing more than AI customer service. Get me to where I need to go.
It's pretty
brutal. I always want to talk to a person. I never want to talk to AI. I don't care if AI can solve it. I don't care. Get me to a person.
I don't care if the person is all the way in Antarctica.
Get me on the phone with a freaking person. Because the AI one's like, are you sure this is what you want to do? Yes, I'm sure. I am 100% positive of the action that I want to take.
Woosah.
And then it's like, we're going to trace you to the correct department. Then I spent the next 3.5 minutes in the commercial break.
You're not listening to the woosah, Dave.
No, it's not working because I spent 3.5 minutes on dead air because it never actually transferred me.
Uh-oh.
Easy Rod.
Well, welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you along. Happy little Monday. I did say a Mune. Show me the Mune this weekend.
God, he's good.
That thing was a bomb.
He's good.
Some interesting thing about baseball. Let me tell you these road splits right now. This is awesome. Like, I can read this on my computer. Mm. Like, I can see.
How is that helpful?
It's pretty amazing. On the road, this player has a batting average of .275, on-base percentage of .371, slugging of .469. That makes the OPS .840. At home, since the pitcher's mound was lowered in 1969, the only MLB hitter to have an 85-game home span with these stats, an average below .182, on-base below .288, slugging below .266, in at least 338 plate appearances, that would be $40 million man Kyle Tucker for the Los Angeles Dodgers. This dude stinks at home.
Move this man!
He stinks so bad that Dave Roberts sent him home.
Is it better to just stink at home, or is it better to be Cal Raleigh and just stink?
Ooh, well, Cal
didn't just get a big old payday.
Yeah, Cal is still valuable because Cal catches games.
Yeah.
Cal's not deferred for the next 10 years either. Mm.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. You saw this when Swag was in before we started our show. If I'm a Dodger fan, this is concerning to me. I think the Dodgers have a lot of holes now that rotation is stuff only like the Yankees of the 90s have had or the Braves of the 90s have had. But there's a lot of holes in this team, and that gives me the bright optimism that they won't just be the shoo-in to win the World Series.
Their champagne problems are starting to – the bubbles are getting a little flat.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, their champagne problems are starting to become kind of real problems, and now their outfield is kind of a disaster. Andy Páez in center is the only thing you can believe in because Kyle Tucker and Wright is having a disaster year. Teoscar Hernandez is not great this year.
I just watched Kyle Tucker drop a pop fly after going over the entire
game. Did you see that? Yeah, dude.
That's really rough.
They're starting to boo him in the outfield.
Here's the thing, though. It can all turn on a dime.
Oh, yeah.
We know what baseball is. It can just flip.
And lucky for Kyle Tucker, he can be as awful as he is right now. And how many games ahead of the next
Everyone.
Team were they?
Yeah.
How far ahead of first place are they?
Let's see.
Because I believe the Braves also are right next to them. But
But the thing is, like, because this is what we talked about when they
the Dodgers are 74-51, the Braves are 74-50.
Mm-hmm. So but half a game.
Even with that, your division, you're fine. Like, so if you're the Dodgers, though,
oh yeah, they've got a 7-game lead on the Padres.
Again, you've won 70 games. It's not September.
No. And you look at the Dodgers, and Tucker can struggle like this because you've got Betts, because you've got Freeman, because you've got Shohei. Teoscar could find it. Tucker can find it. Will Smith can go. Like, it's not like
Max Muncy can go.
You know what I mean? Like, all you have to do.
So I made a nice home run the other night.
One guy flips, and all of a sudden it just turns into this monster that rolls downfield, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing because they have 4 series losses this month. It's the most they've had this year. But it's also, it's like, let's see what they are in September.
It's much ado about nothing in terms of the Dodgers.
Yes.
But in terms of Kyle Tucker himself.
I think it's big problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not important, but it just shows how much I've been paying attention. He is a giant future piece on my fantasy team. Mm-hmm. I traded Ronald Acuna Jr. for him.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
I mean, fine. They both suck. So that's okay. But I've been watching Kyle Tucker all year, and it's starting to...
Baseball's weird.
Me and some of my friends have been... Like, me and my good buddy Todd, we've been talking about this a lot when it comes to Kyle Tucker. Is Kyle Tucker good? Or do we all just love the idea of Kyle Tucker?
I think the value for him... Because I think there's not a lot of valuable right fielders who...
He's gold glove caliber right field.
Again, a gold glove guy who can rake when he's up. Like, mm-hmm. when he's hot, he can rake. And that's really valuable at the right field.
The thing about it is, this is baseball in a nutshell, is like it ebbs and flows.
Sure. But
I'm not worried about Kyle Tucker until Kyle Tucker falls off the wagon for 2 years. We did this to a larger extent with Bellinger.
Sure.
Bellinger's fine.
I think Bellinger might be a better player than Kyle Tucker.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
You can have these swoons in your career that you can come back from.
Mm-hmm. Now,
that's baseball for everybody who's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Now, a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy, which Kyle Tucker was in 22 and 23, mm-hmm. hit only 29, but you know what I mean? That's still 30-ish.
Yeah.
That is the kind of player we think Kyle Tucker is. In 2024, he played 78 games because mm-hmm. he was hurt, 23 and 49. In 25, he played 136, 22 and 73, and this year he's played 117. And it's not even really because of injury, it's because he gets sat a lot, and he's got 11 home runs and 54 RBIs.
But for the Dodgers, it doesn't matter.
Well, I know, but in the reality, though, to what Casey was saying with Kyle Tucker's, why we fell in love with him in Houston, mm-hmm. and then Chicago paid Cam Smith for him, which turns out to be okay. Cam Smith's a pretty average baseball player, but was a high prospect. Kyle Tucker, to me, is just this player that everyone thinks is going to be a Shohei, Aaron Judge type player,
mm-hmm.
and he's just not.
Well, I think,
and he makes $40 million a year.
I think that's part of the argument when we talk about, well, this guy's not the best, and so all of a sudden they become buns. And I'm not saying that he's playing good enough right now to justify any criticism that's going against him
mm-hmm.
or not going against him. But I also think that it's like NBA side of things. Like, well, this player isn't LeBron James, so they're buns. Like, whoa, they're still really good.
The issue is that during the offseason, Kyle Tucker was ranked the number 3 right fielder in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Ahead of Corbin Carroll, Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis, Seiya Suzuki, George Springer, Mike Trout, and Willy Abreu. All those guys are having better seasons.
Except for Springer, yeah.
Yeah.
I would take all those guys over him.
And Springer adds more value to that Toronto
for
lineup
sure.
than Tucker adds to this Dodgers.
Yeah, as far as importance of who you have to rely on, yeah, for sure. I don't know, man. I look at that and I just go, let's see in September.
Sure.
I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt in that.
Because
am I wrong?
He can still be immortalized in Dodger history if he hits a base hit in the World Series and that ends up scoring an RBI
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they win by 1.
And he can come back next year and be 90% of what he was and you're still like, so he's a 24-80 guy.
But is it crazy to think that of all the offseason moves that were made, and the Dodgers, again, they're great in the offseason, they just made a bad move here?
Eventually you're going to get bit.
And that's not crazy because
no.
if you're going to get bit in one season when you're winning 72 games.
You can take it.
That's
to Danny's point, they can take it.
You can deal with that.
This isn't the Brewers, right, where if they decide to spend some money in a blow, or your Guardians. If Kyle Tucker is on the Guardians and you spend
home run pitch,
you spend $40 million on him, and he does this, oh buddy,
oh dude, oh man, we're dead.
Not only that, your owner's never spending money again.
No,
never spending money again.
Good enough. Good thing though, Chase DeLauter, who is qualified enough to be in this stat, has a higher OPS than Kyle Tucker by almost 100.
And he's making probably, what, $39 million less?
Yes. Yeah. If of those that qualify, Kyle Tucker is the third worst right fielder in baseball in terms of OPS.
Sure.
Cam Smith is right below him, which is hilarious because they were traded for each other, and Joe Adell.
And what's his win over replacement?
Wins over replacement. Let's see here.
Stolen four times.
No, it's okay. It's popping up here. Kyle Tucker is currently at .3.
That's not good, Mom.
The kid Baez has played two games for the Cardinals and has as much WAR as him.
Well, when you get three jacks and three at bats, you know.
Willier Abreu is a 5.1. Corbin Carroll 4.7. Seiya Suzuki 4.1. James Wood is only a 3.8. He's having a massive year.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Walker 3.6. Jack Caglione 3. Chase DeLauter 2.6.
James Wood plays historically
in center field.
That's correct. Been pretty good for the Nationals.
Correct. It's a worrisome thing, that's for sure. And if you're Kyle Tucker, don't opt out. Take the $40 million next year, buddy.
Thank you.
And hopefully that figures out and you sign a fat deal. Because I love Kyle Tucker. I want him to be good. But I'm starting to wonder, do I just want him to be good or is he good? And that's the question to solve.
You're shade sharpening it.
Yes, big time. We come back, closing arguments. It's next. New news in NBA ownership because it just keeps coming. That's Danny and Patrick, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. All right, that's going to do it for us. Closing arguments are brought to you by Oregon Divorce Mediation Services, presented by our friends at Leskin Law. For more information, visit leskinlaw.com. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we assume some deets will surface out from the Blazers as they will meet with the city today. Which reminds me, I got to change the number behind us because there's been no bad news.
There you go.
Yet. They are meeting today. Do you know anything about, like, structure or what they're doing, but they're meeting today.
Yes.
So hopefully some stuff will leak out about that tomorrow and we can circle back on that.
Try and check in and see what I can find out.
Should have Dave Bartu on the show tomorrow again and talk a little college football. We could talk some Seahawks as they lock up Devin Witherspoon. There's some more NFL stuff. Jerry does not regret trading Micah Parsons and compares it to Herschel Walker. Okay.
They made out in that one pretty well.
They did make out in that one pretty well. Free consultation Tuesday as well. A little bit of things to get to before we get to closing arguments. Let's see here. LIV canceled their last event for the tour this year. They've got Indy this weekend, I believe, but they canceled their Michigan stop. So adios on that.
Pack it up.
Pack it up. We are toast on that. Scottie Scheffler dominated over the weekend. He's going to win the FedEx Cup, which is more cool from the financial standpoint.
It's a lot of money.
Like, I know the majors are cool, but I'll tell you what. If you win zero majors but and win the FedEx Cup,
you're fine.
You're doing just fine.
Isn't one like $20 million now?
I know the purse for yesterday's tournament was $22 million, but I don't know what first place was because I was watching for a little bit last night. Or yesterday afternoon.
Let me see. Let's see. Season-long FedEx Cup bonus and playoff pool offers $100 million. Let's see. Top 10 finished pool is $20
million. Each?
No.
The pool is 20 for the top 10. So you're doing well. You're doing real well.
Crazy.
Major League Baseball, let's see. Anything of good to watch tonight? Shane McClanahan coming off the DL right now for Tampa. They are hosting Baltimore. Framber Valdez on the bump for Detroit. They are surging right now. They're in Pittsburgh. Walker Buehler, Nolan McClain. You got to be a sicko like me to want to watch that game. Shota Imanaga for the Cubs as they'll take on Luis Castillo of the White Sox. A little windy series right there. Blake Snell back on the bump tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers as they are in Colorado. Funny thing, the AL East, they are all in control of the playoffs right now in the American League.
I mean,
Rays are in first, and the three wild cards are Yankees, Red Sox, and Orioles. The Orioles sold, and they're in the playoffs. Blue Jays are a game behind.
I mean, the AL's going to AL.
It is weird. The AL's already always been super dominant to me, and
they're not.
Not today, not this year.
No.
That's for sure. Although I do think Tampa can win the World Series.
Sure. One team can.
Closing arguments today is brought to you by...
Why do this to me?
I do think they... closing arguments comes by way of NBA ownership, as this just came across the wire, as Jeannie Buss and the Buss family have decided to sell off their remaining stake. This is from Shams. The Buss family has decided to sell its remaining 17.8% ownership stake in the Los Angeles Lakers to new majority owners Josh Kushner and Bob Iger. Sources tell ESPN the Buss family trust, composed of siblings Jeannie, Jim, Johnny, Janie, Joey, and Jesse. Come on, guys. Give me a break here. Received majority
votes. All children of Jim.
Give me a break. Alliteration is not always awesome. Received majority votes to allow trustees to execute the sale. It required 4 of 6 votes to enact the tag-along provision of Mark Walter's sale to Kushner and Iger, which valued the Lakers at $12.5 billion. You did the math. They're going to collect...
Basically $2.25 billion.
$2.25 billion.
On top of what they got from Walter buy the, 83% stake.
The Buss family did quite well in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They turned what... The Lakers were originally purchased, I think, for $60 million, if I remember right. So from $60 million to $12.5 billion.
Does that make this team 100% owned by Kushner and Iger? Wow.
There will be like somebody somewhere who owns like
2%.
Not even that.
Like the Niners.
67.5 is what he bought it for in 1979.
Like the Niners guy who owned like half a percentage of the Niners, but now owns the Seahawks.
Like when I talk about Blazers ownership group, like Melinda, the Gates daughter has money in the Blazers ownership group.
Okay.
But we're talking like probably like, you know, I would love to have this, but probably like $10 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's. Money, but it's or $5 million, whatever like minimum percentage you can buy in. It's like when NFL players buy into a team. And they
it gets
buy,
you
like,
first place to buy tickets wherever you want.
Like Richard, like Richard Seymour has like a 0.1% stake in the Raiders.
Okay,
like those kind of things exist. But
what a name drop,
Richard Seymour.
Richard Seymour.
Yeah. I love Richard Seymour.
But yeah, it doesn't like those kind of things exist all over sports. Like little like, hey, I'm a part owner in this. It's like, yeah, okay, cool, but. You don't actually have any say. You're just collecting your basically your dividend check at the end of the year, which great, cool. I mean, it's good for you. But also, remember when the Lakers sold to Walter and I said, yeah, remember, they're like, no, Jeannie Buss is here for the long haul and she's still going to be the face of the franchise and she's still going to be a governor. I go, check with me in a year. We didn't even make it a year.
Dude, we didn't make it 2 months.
No.
Walter. When Walter, yeah.
That was 10 months ago.
Yeah.
There was no way, shape, matter, or form that somebody's going to come in and buy that much and allow that to continue to happen.
Well, I also think that part of that, too, is also the people that Walter sold it to. Bob Iger ran Disney decades.
But even then, it's like...
But he would easily be a face for the Lakers because he was a face for Disney for a long time.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's more of... I think Walter would have eventually done the same thing. All right, Jeannie, it's time for you to go.
Oh, I agree.
Like, I don't think it was ever going to make it past a year.
But I don't know.
I don't believe it.
But I don't know what Mark Walter looks like. So
sure.
To me,
but
it's like,
that's on purpose. He's always operating in the back.
But we all know what Jeannie looks like. So that's why she was going to hold on for a little while.
I mean, it's like.
But Bob Iger, I know what that guy looks like.
Guess he would have come back to the Lakers. Mr. Smiles himself. Magic.
Oh, that's true.
Who's the face of the Dodgers?
Magic Johnson.
Magic. Magic would have come back and been the face of the Lakers. That's what would happen.
Without a doubt.
So when you look at that part of it.
It's funny is I know what
Mr. Laker. Yeah.
I know what Frank McCourt looks like. I don't know what Mark Walters looks like.
He looks exactly like you think he looks.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
He looks exactly like you think he looks. Like it's.
For some reason, I thought he was a black man.
Central casting. Central casting. There's nothing. There's no S.
Mark Walters is a black soccer player.
Yeah, no. Mark Walter.
Mark Walter.
Yes.
Yeah, this is an old gray-haired dude. Looks like a CEO.
Does he not look like he's straight out of central casting?
Yes.
Yeah. No, there's nothing about that. So, also, Jeannie's sitting there looking at that investigation go, let me go and get my money and go and get out of here.
Okay, bye. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
So, yeah. And again, we're talking about like the money getting involved in this stuff. The mom and pops, like you're just not liquid enough. Just not liquid enough, man.
I don't know if they're going to take this tower off the Centennial Mills building.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a live look.
Let's just take the
demolition.
Freaking building down.
Well, I know, but I want them to save the water tower.
Why?
Because it makes me feel good, Danny.
I don't.
Because it's in my feels. Put it on top of the Moda Center.
Look, I'm not trying to sit out here and make everything like millennial gray coded. Like, we don't need to do that. We don't need any more of that architecture. please, please, we don't need that.
No, we don't.
But it's also like something burns down, we can, it's okay to let it go.
Save the water tower. Save the water tower.
Look, if the Portland, Oregon deer sign goes down, let's rebuild that. Let's save whatever we can of that. Otherwise, like, oh, we're good.
Water tower would have been real helpful during the fire.
Yeah, that it worked real well.
That is true.
You tap on it. Ding, ding, ding. It's bone dry, Bob.
It's the cow that you've been milking too much. Closing arguments are brought to you by Oregon Divorce Mediation Services, presented by our friends at Leskin Law. For more information, visit leskinlaw.com. Oregon Divorce Mediation Services, the alternative to divorce court. Happy little Monday. Thanks for riding with us. For Danny Morang, that's Casey Smith. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
Bye.